Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, the first time in 2020. And great to see many people who doesn't come often to come here. Hello, Isaac. Hello, Isaac. Okay. Now, today, since last week, this year we started our series on Ephesians. And I remember when I grew up in high school, one of my best friends, he is an orphan. Now, both his name is Neil, the same name as our other pastor Neil, but his name is Neil. Remember Neil? His parents died in a car crash when he was just 12 years old, and leaving him the only survivor in the family. And I remember he was very fortunate to have his uncle, who he would call Dad, to adopt him and raise him up like his own son. Pretty much like Peter Parker in Spider-Man. My friend knew he was raised in an adopted family. And his dad, his uncle, loved him so much as his own son. And to him, his adopted father is his real father. And do you know, we also have a father who loves us so much that like his own children. He is our loving Father who has adopted us, who believe in Jesus as his own children. We all have this Father. He's in heaven. He's our Father in heaven. He is the creator of this universe. He is the Father of Jesus. And we all are adopted children. In Ephesians chapter 1, Apostle Paul begins with praises to God the Father of our Lord Jesus. He said, "For God has blessed us all who believe, will not only one, or not two, but every spiritual blessing in His Son Jesus Christ." He blessed us all with everything, every spiritual blessing in Jesus. And Paul originally wrote this letter to the Christians in Ephesus. It's a Roman city, it was very, with commercial success in there, out there, like Melbourne or Sydney in Australia. But back in Roman Empire, in the plain of Asia, Ephesus was a big city. And Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Ephesus, Christians out there, and they are sent today in the same sense that the word Ephesians Christian were sent. We are the saints, just like the Ephesians Christians. If you are being adopted by the Father in heaven, your status on earth is very different to everyone outside God's family. As long as you're in God's family, in His adopted family, you are saints. S-A-I-N-T, like St. Nicholas, like St. Paul, like St. Mark. Not just like the Catholic, you see those idols and they try to worship it as saints. You too, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, from Paul's perspective, you are the saints. They are the children of God. And so sometimes when we look at it, we might not always feel spiritually blessed. I saw myself, I'm a sinner. However, Paul makes sure that he says we do not misunderstand how gracious God is, that He has given us every spiritual blessing. But why? Who we are? Why did God bless us? Paul continues in verse 4, he says that, "For God the Father chose us and adopted us as His spiritual children. And we have received this blessing of being chosen by God to be His children." We are chosen by God. It's not because of what we do. It's not because who you are. You're born in a wealthy family or a royal family. No. Just because God loves you and God chooses you to be His children. And so it is by God's choice. And by His marvelous divine choice, He makes us holy and blameless in His sight.
It is God's own doing, nothing to do with us. Through His Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to take away all of our sins, to make us holy, to make us blameless, so that we can stand before Him in front of the judgment on the judgment day. It is His sovereign choice, and doing it through Jesus Christ. Then, because we believe, have believed in Him, and receive Him, the only way you receive this blessing, so you receive this sonship, this adopted children, is that you believe in Him, believe in Jesus as our Savior, so that all our sins are forgiven by God. And it does not mean that the true Christian never sin. To say the truth, I've seen a lot of Christians that have lots of sins. I myself, as a Christian, I'm not perfect. I have lots of sins. As you grow older and older and older, the more sins you will have. You can't escape. If I say that I'm sinless, expect that I may be Jesus. But I'm not. No one is sinless. Everyone, even the Pope, even the Archbishops, all the pastors, Pastor Cindy, Pastor Neil, Pastor Me, Pastor Andy, all of us, we are sinners just like you. But yet, we are holy and blameless, and we receive this spiritual blessing because of Jesus Christ, because our sins are forgiven. Jesus made us holy and blameless because He is holy, He is blameless. And because now we are in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives in us, we are in Jesus as our whole family, as the body of Christ, we are also having share of these blessings to be holy and blameless in God's sight. So what Jesus has done on the cross to die for our sins takes us beyond our understanding. It's not our own, like the prophet spoke about, it's not about us. Our understanding is not beyond our understanding. It is just the will of God and what He has done, what He made it happen. It's the final consequences. Even we don't fully understand what's happening, the final consequences is very easy to understand. We are adopted by God by His choice, predestinated to be Christian, to live forever with Him. So, because in Christ, we have His righteousness input into us. What has belonged to Jesus, the righteousness and holiness, is given to us. It's given to you now. You are wearing Jesus like a cloth, a white cloth, in front of God. It's cover all of our sin, cover everything. It's like a liquid paper. You've got all the sins, like all the dirt, all the error that you've got in writing. Jesus Christ is a liquid paper that comes to cover you. His righteousness, God sees His own Son, the head of the body. Us, just cover everything by Jesus, by the blood of Christ. That is what God did. So, that is what it means at the moment of salvation. That's the meaning of salvation. The day will come when standing before God, holy and blameless in the judgment day, we will be totally separated, free, and redeemed from any sign of sin. And this is the true love of God, that He did it because He loves us, just because He loves us. Nothing because of who we are or what we have done. What a blessing. We can do nothing and we did everything. I remember I used to be a Buddhist. I know some people who are Muslim. They spend their entire life trying to do their way, to earn their way to go to heaven or earn their way to be accepted by God. It doesn't work. It never works. Praise our blessed Father who shall be praised forever. Remember, look at verse 4. What did God say? at the end of verse 4. He said, the Paul says, in love, He predestinated us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to be praised of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. The one He loves, you can notice, is capital O, for one, it's not you, it's Jesus. Just because He's freely given us the one He loves is Jesus Christ, and He gave it to you for free. Free gift. God made us His children by formally adopting us into His spiritual family, and in adoption, a child is brought into a family. I think, yeah, so like my friend here, he was adopted to the family, so he became part of the family. We too, we are giving the same rights as children, born into that family, and God did it through Jesus so that it pleased Him. That God thinks that He's still pleased that when you see you as His children, So remember your special status in this world. It's out of this world compared to the rest of the world. You are inside God's family. And therefore we have received two spiritual blessings from God the Father. First, we have been chosen and adopted by Him as His spiritual children. And secondly, He made this choice before the creation of the world and before any one of us was born. And so it is God's choice to believe in, to be a Christian, not our own decision. Sometimes, you know, some of the Christian trends will tell that you have to make that decision or choice to become a Christian. You need to make that decision to become a choice. But to say the truth, when I'm learning from theology, from Moore College, I found out that it's actually not our choice at all. It's God choosing us. If I make the choice that I want to be a Christian, it's probably because God has given His Holy Spirit to me and opened my heart so that I will respond to His call. It is not my choice. It's actually God is choosing you first. And then He makes you to believe. Then you believe. But you think that you are making your choice. But it's actually not. It's actually God has created, chosen you before you were born. That was what I found out. It took me 3 years to unlearn what I used to know, to understand that. So, why is God's choice that we believe in believe in Christ to be Christians, not our decision? So that someday we can stand before Him being holy and blameless. And Jesus motivates us by His desire to be, God chose it to be kind to us, and by His desire to receive the praise for His grace. And in Christ, we were chosen. You are being chosen. That's why we say that you are being chosen, not being you have accepted, you have made the decision to become Christian. So whenever you see a pastor tell you, oh, you should be baptized, it might not mean that, you have to make the choice already to become a Christian. It may be, it's just because he knows that God may told him to tell you that you have been chosen by God. It's hard to explain fully, but if you understand what the Bible is talking about, in verse 5 says He predestinated for adoption for sonship with Jesus Christ. That is what it means. God has already chosen you from the beginning. You just may not understand it yet if you haven't received like Christ. God, whoever God chose, one day before He died, the person must believe and become adopted as His children. And we don't know who, but God knows. The Father knows everything. So this is the truth. John Stott, a Reformed theologian, once wrote, he said that, he talked about election. What is election? It's not about like you vote for who is the prime minister or something like that. He said the doctrine of election is a divine revelation, not a human speculation. Divine is God's revelation. God elects you because God reveals His plan to you. It's not about what we think. It is God's choice, not our choice. It is not to be set aside as imagination of some overactive religious mind, rather than humbly accepted. It is a revelation from God. God revealed to you. You are Christian. He wants you. He wants you to adopt you as His children. He wants you to receive eternal life. He has chosen you from the beginning, before you were born. So we must never allow our subjective experience of choosing Christ water down the fact that we would not have chosen God if He had not first chosen us. It's not your decision, it's God's decision. Jesus said it again. Remember what Jesus said in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 44, He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Remember, no one can come to him at all. I can preach to an atheist who was not chosen by God 5 years, 10 years. Some of my friends in high school, until today, still doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. It is not because I didn't have enough reason for them. It's not because I didn't love them and tell them enough. Sometimes the more you push them, the more they went away. You know that. But because Jesus said, no one can come to Him unless the Father who sent Him draws him. Unless God draws you in to Him, you will never believe. And whoever chosen by God Jesus Christ said that I will raise him up on the last day. You will be resurrected. The word raise him up in Greek is the term for resurrection. You will come back to life and live forever with Jesus Christ. Therefore, when I was, I remember that, so the doctrine of election is the doctrine that let God be God. It basically says let God be God. It forms a foundation of a confidence for all the Christians in Christianity. Our God is a God who will choose you before time when only Him exists before the creation of the world, and He will not leave you. Welcome to the time or trials of life. No matter how bad it is, no matter what you have done, I don't care if you have killed many people, you have murdered a lot of people, I don't care if you stole a lot of money, I don't care if you have been in prostitution for the rest of your life. If you are chosen by God, God will erase every sin, erase every sin in your life. And He has chosen you, and you will become His children. I remember when I was 19 years old, I was a former Buddhist and a person who just came out of demon possession. So some of you who doesn't know how I become a Christian, I was a demon-possessed person being saved by Christ, sent by Pastor Samuel Chang to do exorcism. It was by God's grace that He sent the founder of this church, Pastor Samuel Chang, to my home and saved me from the evil spirit. At that time, Pastor Samuel Chang told me that after God saved me, God has chosen me to be His children, so all I need to do is put my trust on Jesus and follow Him. And one day God will use me for His kingdom. That is when I was 19 years old, 1997. At that time, I was thinking about being rich, how to get rich. Like I started buying shares for computer shares, like business shares since I was year 10. I thought I would never imagine that one day I would become a pastor standing on this pulpit in the church that Samuel Chang has founded, proclaiming God's word. God had chosen me before I was born, before I know Him. And what God had done to me, God may use you too in different ways. Each of us are different. Not every one of us come up to be a pastor. But I know that if God has chosen you in your life, God will use you one day for His kingdom in whatever way He wants you to be. So today I tell you the same thing Pastor Chang had told me 22 years ago, that God has a plan for you. He will use you for His kingdom, and all you need to do is to put your trust in Jesus Christ, and God will give you His blessing through Jesus. It's not through our understanding, it's through believing in Jesus. It's God's work. And then in verse 7 onward, Paul has listed the four kinds of spiritual blessings that come to us through Jesus. He said, in Christ we are redeemed, forgiven, enlightened, and enriched. Paul wrote in his letter in verse 7 to 8, he said, in Him we have redemption through His blood, and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, whenever I say to redeemed, redemption or redeemed, it means to brought back with a sense of being released from slavery. It's back in the back in the time of Exodus we did last year. When God saved you out of slavery of sin, God is going to buy you back and in a price. In Jesus' blood, die for Him. Die for you. Die for you. You need Jesus. We are being redeemed by Jesus, our Redeemer. Now we are bought by Him, belong to God. We are free from sin, from both the penalty and the enslaving power that it carries. And this redemption was accomplished by the death of Jesus on the cross, where He shed His blood and died to secure our redemption. You got redeemed by God. He paid a price to buy you off from slavery, from sin. He died through Jesus' death on the cross, through His blood. And so, forgiveness. So now, because Jesus died, it secures our redemption. His death has already paid the penalty, the price for our release from sin and death. So now forgiveness from God goes hand in hand with redemption. If you don't have redemption, you don't have forgiveness. If you have forgiveness, you have redemption. Come together. It's a package. It's a deal. And we cannot have one without the other.
And to forgive means to give up the right to punish someone for the transgression. If my child, Kara or Daniel, they did something wrong, I'm going to smack them with a wooden spoon. Yes, it still happens. It happens. You've got consequences even when you do this. But if I forgive them, it means that, okay, I give up my chance to punish them and let them live. And God is doing the same for you. He can smack you anytime. Judgment day come, everyone got smacked on the back. But Jesus is forgiving you so that let you out of the trouble, out of the punishment that you deserved, that I deserved. And making forgiveness possible, it is a very major accomplishment in God's eyes, since it requires a sacrifice of blood and death of Jesus. Today, at 11 o'clock, we don't have prayer time, but during the Bible study, if you have time, come, because we are going to learn about atonement and sacrifice. It's a very high concept in the Old Testament time, how to kill animals or kill a person, the death of a person or animal, have done to anything, the wrong thing that you have done in your life. It is, we learn about that, about sacrifice. But it is all God's doing. It is a gift for us to send His only Son, Jesus, to die on our behalf, taking all the penalty of sin so that His grace, His gift, will be poured up on you, and that we will receive the forgiveness of sins and salvation and eternal life through Jesus. And that is God's wisdom. That is His understanding. See that at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, with all wisdom and understanding. Only those who are chosen by God will receive this blessing of the wisdom and understanding, knowing what God is doing. The rest of the world, they will have not known any of this. They don't have the wisdom. They don't know why Jesus died on the cross, got punished by the Romans 2,000 years ago, have anything to do with you today. But you know what is it that, what is done, and you know this effectively. Talk your sins. That is the wisdom. And so only those who have received the Holy Spirit can truly grasp what God is doing by sending His Son Jesus on the cross. And that when we have received this knowledge and wisdom and understanding, I'll have only one response. One only response is to accept that is acceptable to God, and turn away from sin and put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you receive this wisdom, you got this understanding, knowing what God is doing 2,000 years ago on the cross, know what Jesus did, and you have no response to it, you can't blame God to put you to eternal death later on when judgment comes. Because you have only acceptable response that He has done everything for you, and you don't take it, you don't believe in Him, it is your fault. But also means maybe God hasn't chosen you from the beginning. But anyway, as the passage follows, He said that He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. Let me see the next slide. Yes. Okay. Now, this mystery known to believers, but unknown and not understood by unbelievers, that when the time is right, God will bring all things in heaven and on earth and fitting conclusion in Christ, who will be ruler of everything. Jesus will be ruler. He's ruling in heaven. Everything belongs to Him. I don't care what's happening in the world, World War III or climate change, whatever they are. Jesus is up there. He is in charge. We may not be able to see what's going on in the next few years, but Jesus can see everything until eternity. He is in charge, and God's point of view is to try to bring everything in Jesus so that the rule, He will rule everything. And what's more is that when we are chosen by God, guess what? From the beginning of time, we are predestined according to God's plan to receive this inheritance with Christ, that we will sit with Him, rule with Him forever. We will possess it, we will in full and enjoy when we stand before God in heaven. This inheritance, spiritual inheritance, is not by accident. It is in part of God's plan for us from the beginning. Paul tells us in verse 12, he said, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for praise of His glory. So God give us all these blessings and His Son and His adoption and all those redemption, whatever. And under His plan is that God shall be praised. That is only one result. He wants to keep you. Want to keep you. Why? Just want you to praise Him forever. All you need to do is
cheer up.
It's like, you know, when you go see a big battle in the soccer World Cup grand final, all you do is just drinking your beer in the pub and say, yay, that's all you do. That is your, all you have to do. To praise Him. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to be like a Buddhist and do all that. Even get away from their family and try to live their monk, to be a monk for the rest of their life. And don't drink, don't eat whatever. Don't eat no meat or whatever. You don't need to do anything. All you need to just go there. Yay, hooray. Praise God. That is all God wants you to do. Is that too much to ask? And this mystery, and what else? So, this mystery is is that God wants us to put our hope in Christ so that we might be for the praise of His glory. And how do we know that God chose us for redemption? God did it by sealing us with the Holy Spirit, making us secure in Christ. How did God choose you in the last day? Knowing that who is going to happen, who is going to hell and be burned forever. I'm not trying to be Israel Galoo on that. But I'll tell you why, how is easy. By knowing who has the Holy Spirit. Whoever received the belief in Jesus Christ when you got baptized, or before you baptized when you believe in Jesus, God will send His Holy Spirit to land on you. Whoever has the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit, they will live forever. When you die many years later, when Jesus come back to earth and judge everyone, how did God know who belongs to Him? Whoever has His Holy Spirit living in them, God is with them. I know that person. I've been living with him forever. So since the time that you believe, the person believes, and go up. That is the seal. That is like, you know, when I, long time ago, when Carly and I went to a farm in northern New South Wales, we witnessed how the farmers packed the cattle with mark and put the mark on the animals to show the ownership of the farmer. What they do, they get a clip a bit like you have an earring, those earrings, you've got a special mark in there on the ear for each of the cars, click, click, click. And then they put a hot iron, stab or seal their butt on their butt. On the, where you have drumstick, you know, that part of the meat, that's where they do. Put it on seal, and once we have got seal, got the mark of the farm, and say, okay, that belongs. That, whenever a thief comes, try to steal the cow, they can know that cow belongs to this farmer. Guess what? You are the cow, you're the cattle, you're the sheep. You got seal too. With the hot iron. That is the Holy Spirit. God has already put a mark on you. Whoever belongs to God, God has a look at it spiritually from heaven to above, who is my sheep. He just look at it. Okay, that one got my sheep. Oh, this one got my name on it. That is mine. That's my Holy Spirit. You are His. It is that simple. And so, the spiritual blessing of sonship, of guarantee of redemption, is through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, by whom we make spiritual secure. We believe in Jesus, God sent His advocate, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And God is with us since the day when you first believe. Not the day that you got baptized. Some people at the same day, right? Some, I don't know what is the theology of people. Different churches have different thinking. For me, the one who believes the day you believe, you are saved by the Holy Spirit. Without the Lord and the Holy Spirit, you won't think Jesus is your Savior. Okay? So, as it's written in verse 13 in Ephesians, Paul said, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth. See, that is not when you're baptized, but when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, it's like that. Remember, when you believe, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You are the cattle. That's yours. Okay? So, when you look to God with His seal of the Holy Spirit, we should also feel thankful, be thankful. For God has taken His ownership as the shepherd and the responsibility as the owner for us. His church, we are His flock, we are the sheep. We are His people, and we are in His sheep fold. The kingdom of God is the sheep pen. We are inside. We are secure. He will protect us from any attack from the devil, from anyone who is trying to steal the sheep. And our God will protect us and guide us with the seal of the Spirit marked for our inheritance in His pasture in heaven. We great, like what you like, you know, I like the way that Jesus, like all the way always used the sheep or shepherd, you said as a parable. How do you feel if you're a farmer, how do you feed your lamb? let them graze, let them eat the grass in your field. Our field out there in heaven, that's the pasture out there waiting for you for eating. The Lord also feeding you now, right now, when I'm talking to you in God's word. Spiritual food, spiritual pasture only come from the Bible. That is your field, that is your spiritual pasture for you. That is why they call us pastor. You know what pastor means, right? They say the shepherd. So that is my work, my job at the moment. And God, this is now we know that. That is how we know that God sees His children with the Holy Spirit, and indicating we are belong to Him. We are the authentic spiritual children, not the fake one, not a fake one, not a wolf. And the faithful followers of Christ, not imposters. We are under God's possession, the protection. You are under His redemption. So when we look at God with the seal of the Holy Spirit, we should be thankful. Internal or transaction. You know, like when you buy a property, when you buy, anyone like to buy a property or buy a house, listen to this, if you love real estate, when you need to put down 10% of payment up front as a deposit for your ownership for the assets, that is called a deposit. So if I want to buy a house, $1 million, I need to put $100,000, 10%, put into the bank as a guarantee as a deposit. God is now giving us a deposit. If we are His possession, we are the assets, what do He do? As owner, have to put down 10% of payment. That is the Holy Spirit that God put in you. Okay? You have already received, a lot of you who believe in Jesus Christ, you already received the deposit. That is the Holy Spirit in you. So that when we, until the day of the redemption, guaranteed and found that we release from sin, when we stand before God in heaven, that is whether when we die, after we die, or for those who are alive at that time, God will start His judgment in Christ's return. It is done to bring praises to God for His grace in our lives and for our spiritual inheritance. The Bible says in verse 14, at the end of verse 14, until the redemption of those who are God's possession, that is, you are the asset, you are the real estate, to be praised for His glory. Is it easy to understand? Salvation? Can you tell your friend who doesn't know Jesus Christ on these things? Because this kind of wisdom, they need to make a choice, or maybe if God has chosen them, maybe God is using you to tell them. Maybe you are the one that God has chosen from the beginning to bring your friends, your family, or neighbors who you know, or maybe your fellow students or fellow workers in your workplace, to come to Him so that Jesus can will see them too with the Holy Spirit. And so, Yahweh will be our God, we are His people, and God has spoken long time ago in Exodus and Deuteronomy in Old Testament. God's plan and His goals for us have never changed. Like the way that He sealed the Israelites, in fact in Old Testament time, He's going to seal you, and His goal is for us, is the same thing. So praise God for what He has done for us, what a great plan He has for us for our future. All we need to do, remember, just to trust Him, and so that we can praise Him forever. And as we receive the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. I hope today's message can help you to understand God's love, His mercy, and His grace for you better. So now let us wrap up by praying to our awesome God and give Him thanks. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for You, for You have chosen us from the foundation of this world, that before we are born, that You have chosen us to be Your children, Your adult children. Thank You for the adopted sonship. Thank You for the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the blessings of the wisdom and understanding to knowing what is Your plan for us. Lord, use us. Love us as we love one another, and that we love those who are around us. Help us so that we will be set us on fire, so that we will be able to spiritual fire, so that we will share Your word to bring Your kingdom further to our family and friends. So many people will believe that they will come to You as Your children. Lord, use us on whatever Your plan is. Let us know what Your will for us, so that we will live for Your glory and praise You as You are our God, we are Your children. We pray this in the name of Your Son. Amen.